Thank God for the choir.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for everything that has taken place so far on this wonderful first Sunday of June. Say hello to all our visitors, first-time visitors. We welcome you and we hope that you would return and visit us again. Find out what we're doing with Cameron, what we're teaching Cameron and Keelan, and Ray going to be here. He don't have many options. But I don't have to fight with my children to come to church. They're up and ready to go. Sometimes Dion takes a little longer. But he's ready to come to church. And they understand how important it is to what we do in our family. And they understand how important God is to our family. And they understand grace. I really believe they understand grace. God's unmerited favor. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in our seven lesson series. We're at lesson number four. Lesson number four. We are in the book of Revelations, of the Revelation. And we're still in chapter 2. And we're talking about these seven churches. Ephesus we covered. Ephesus was the loveless church. They had lost their first love. Then we talk about the church of Smyrna. And Smyrna was a persecuted church. It had much persecution. Then we talked last week about the church of Pergamos. Pergamos. And this week, we're going to talk about the church of Thyatira. Thyatira. Let's all stand and let's read Revelations chapter 2. I'm going to read 18 through 29. And this is the longest of all the churches. Many say it was the smallest of all the churches. But God had much to say to this small church. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things say the Son of God, who have his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and the works, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye all have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, chilling words we have read, words that ought to quicken each and every spirit that's under the sound of my voice.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I pray right now, Father God, that you would just use this message today.
Yes, Lord.
To change a heart, a mind, a thought, a yes. deed. Move some lost soul
Jesus.
To salvation.
Yes,
Lord. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you'll be a blessing this morning. To all those that are under the sound of my voice, I thank you. And I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thyatira. The name Thyatira means continual sacrifice. Continual sacrifice. Last week we talked about the Nicolaitan church. We talked about what it meant. Nico, meaning Nike or conqueror. And this church was a conqueror. Was a victorious church, but its victory was over the people. And that word Latio meant people. So last week we talked about the church that ruled the people. Today we're going to talk about a church that was ruled by a female. And the title of this sermon is, I called it, Fat Woman, Jezebel. Now, many of us name our children our young girls. I ought not say this, because I'm not sure anymore. But not many would name their children Jezebel. Not many sons. You won't find many sons named Judas or Balaam. And I know we name our children some stuff. Can't pronounce half the names. But I have not, after working in a woman's prison for 5 years, I have yet to meet. And I met some of the baddest girls in Ohio. I have yet to meet one that came in and told me her name was Jezebel. Today we're going to talk about this church in Thyatira. Verse 18, God speaks. God introduces himself again to the angel of the church, meaning the pastor of this church. It says, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, says the Son of God. He's introducing himself in three different ways here. He introduces himself as the Son of God. Basically, as God. And he says, not only that, he says, who have his eyes like a flame of fire. Eyes like a flame of fire. Piercing eyes. Eyes that can see behind the thoughts. Can see behind the deeds. Can see behind all the minutia. All the junk. All the games that are being played. We can fool the pastor, fool the trustees, fool the deacon board. But you're not going to fool these eyes that are like unto a flame of fire. I get the picture of a welder. And in the gym, we used to have a welding booth. And you couldn't go into a welding booth because the brightness of the welds, you need to have a helmet on with a screen. Covered all up because you could not see it. It was so bright you could not see into it. You could not look into it. These are the eyes that God has, and he's looking at us. This letter is written to the church, sent through the messenger, but it was written to the church. And God is watching. He's watching everything we do in his house because it's his church. It's his church. And he gave us the playbook. He gave us the plan. And God expects us to follow it.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. We talked about that this morning. And not only that, he said his feet are like fine brass. Fine brass, ready to roll, ready to move, ready to strike. With power and authority. Nothing like being kicked. So God is talking to the messenger of this church. Said, I am ready to strike. I have my eyes on you.
Yeah.
I have my eyes on you when you're in the sanctuary. I have my eyes on you when you're in the back room.
Right.
You represent me.
Yes.
You call yourself a child of God. You pray. You ask me to bless you and your family. You ask me to watch over your children. You ask me to be there in the hospital when you're there. But do you serve me? Do you worship me? Do you love me? And that's for an introduction in verse 18. And he talks to this church in Thyatira. And he says, I. 13 eyes. In these 10 chapters. These 11 chapters. 13 eyes. This is a personal letter. God is a personal God. And he desires to have a personal relationship with his church. And we are the church. Ecclesia. The called out ones. We've been called out. We've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. We ought to live a certain way. Talk a certain way. Act a certain way. Walk a certain way. And this is what God is saying. I know thy works. I know what you do. I know how you live. I know your thoughts. And this church was a great church. This was a great church. This was a faithful church, a good church. This is what God has to say to this church. He said, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. You may not know that, but I know that. First thing he starts off, he says, I know thy charity. That word charity means love. This is a church that really understood love. They understood what it meant to love. Mm-hmm. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians real quick. The love chapter. Some folks say, yeah, I just love everybody. I hear that all the time. I just love everybody. No, you don't. Look at the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, and here's Paul. And Paul was considered rough and tough. But listen to what Paul says. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Ray plays an orchestra over at Liberty, and when they hit the cymbals, they don't hit them at tinkling. They hit them. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy, the gift of preaching, and understand all mysteries. I understand the word of God. This is what he's saying. In all knowledge, God has given me knowledge. This is Paul talking, not me. And though I have all faith, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Oh, somebody needs some mountains removed up in here. And have not love. You can have all that power, knowledge and prophecy and mysteries and faith. And have not love, I am nothing. Listen, what else you can do? And it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Oh, you are such a good person. And though I give my body to be burned, you are a martyr. You willing to die for Christ. And have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Listen what love does. If you really want to know if you have it, listen to what Paul says, love does. Yes. Love suffereth long. Yes, and is kind. This church, God said this church had charity. I'm just explaining to you what charity is. Yes. Because I really want to know what God says about this church. Because we say we love, we are loving church. And I hear people say we are loving church. But he said, love or charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not envious.
No.
Charity vaunteth not itself. It don't lift itself up.
Right.
It's not out to get credit for everything that's done.
Amen.
It's not puffed up. Walking around with your head up in the sky looking down on folks. Love don't do this. Do not behave itself unseemly. Love know how to carry yourself in church. Love know how to act in the sanctuary. Love know how to behave. It said, do not behave unseemly. Seeketh not her own. And it gives love the feminine name. It's not easily provoked. Oh, how easy is it to provoke you? How easy is it to make you mad? Thinking no evil. How's your thought life? You look around the sanctuary, how's your thought life? It rejoices not in iniquity. Oh, the Bible says sin has its pleasure for a season. Nothing like an old athlete on the basketball court. His season is over. You can play basketball. Once you get into 32, 33, you consider old school. 35-year-old basketball player can't cover LeBron. Run circles around him because he's had his season. Shaq just retired. He's 38, 39. Last few years, he was just crippled on the basketball court. Here's what love do. Love rejoices in the truth. And one of the reasons why I preach the way I do, expositionally, straight down the text, I want you to know that I'm preaching what the Word of God says. Straight down the text. And love rejoices in the truth. I just want to hear the truth. I don't have a whole lot of stories to tell. A lot of adventures to tell you about. I don't talk about myself a whole lot up here because I've got nothing to talk about. I thank God for that. Let's go back to our text. We understand love. Read that great love chapter. That's a great love chapter in the Bible. So when a young girl or a young boy come up to you and say, "Oh, I just love you." Take them to the book. So, well, your love ought to line up with the love chapter.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you going to suffer along with me?
Uh-huh.
When I had these babies and gained weight, you still going to love me?
Uh-huh.
When I put on a few pounds, you still going to love me? When the doctors say, I got breast cancer, they cut off one of my breasts, you still going to love me? You still going to love me? All right. Sound like I'm meddling.
No, you preaching.
That's love. Suffer long.
Yes.
Some folk be in the hospital, don't know where they made this at. Glad she in the hospital, it's time to play. I know thy work, thy charity, and service. Isn't that word service? I know how you're doing ministry. I know you guys are accountable. You're doing the right thing by the people. This was a good church. They were doing what was right by the people. They was taking care of their business.
Yes.
Folks didn't have no questions about how they was handling their money or their lives or anything. They were serving. They was taking care of the homeless, taking care of the widows. They were taking care of folks. Doing what God called them to do. That word service there. Not only that, he said, "I know your faith." He said, "I know your faith." They was faithful. They was faithful. When it came to the things of God, they was faithful. You have to look around and say, "Where Billy at? Where Bobby at? Where Johnny at?" Well, they fishing today. They on the lake today. Well, you know, they on vacation this week. You know, they were faithful. Sunday service ought to be important to you.
Yes.
When they had a golf outing today. You know, Johnny playing football or soccer. You know when they would show up. This church wasn't like that. When the pastor of this church looked out, he'd seen his folks. Because church meant something to them. They were faithful in church. They were faithful in the community. The community knew they was faithful. The community knew what church they represented. And they had a testimony among the community that we were faithful. And then he said, "I know their patience." He said, "I know their patience." They was under it. They was up against it. They had patience, though. They had patience. And he says, "I know their works." This last thing he says, "I know thy works." He said, "In the last to be more than the first."
Yes.
Think about that. Now, when we studied the church of Ephesus, the first church, their first was better than their last. Because Ephesus was a church that had lost their first love. So Ephesus is where they started off strong and finished weak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word of God said, he that endured to the end shall be saved.
Right.
See, some of us are backing off. We reached a point where we don't need that anymore. That's not important anymore. This is what he says. He says, and the last to be more than the first. This church was growing. See, we saw in the numbers. Oh, if the church ain't full, that means the church is dying. Well, sometimes God has to build up that foundation. Sometimes he has to build up that foundation and back off some stuff. Sometimes the word of God will run some folk out of the church. Some folk God has just run out of the church with the word. We don't want to hear the word. This church, y'all don't sing enough. Church on the south side sing for an hour and a half. They praise and worship is an hour. And they preach 10 minutes. And some folks like that. Find that. But God is commending this church because their last was more than their first. They was as they got older, they were growing stronger. I believe every believer ought to be growing stronger as they get older.
Yes,
sir.
Not weaker.
No.
All he said some wonderful things about this church. This was a wonderful church. But he says in verse 20, notwithstanding, he said, despite all that, I have a few things against thee. And he said, thee is talking to the church. He said, I have a few things. And God had a few things about all these churches other than Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. Those are the only two churches God had nothing bad to say about. And I don't know if it's even practical to think that that church can exist today where God has nothing to say about. He says, notwithstanding or nevertheless, I have a few things against thee. And then he starts naming them. And he talks about that woman, Jezebel. He says, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. Who is Jezebel? Wicked King Ahab's wife. Some expositors say Jezebel might have been the pastor's wife of this church. I don't know if that's true or not, but when we look at, we talk about Jezebel was wicked. She ran into a weak leader in Ahab and took over. I'm going to look at Jezebel just a minute. Just a minute. 1 Kings. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Jezebel. We know about Jezebel. If I'm looking at 1 Kings 21 and 25. And I'm just going to read one verse on Jezebel. And it behooves you, if you want to learn, just open up the Bible and Google Jezebel. And you'll have more information than you'll be able to read in a year. Listen to what it says. Verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab. Ahab was the king. Ahab went into Egypt in a foreign land, and he found himself a wife that served all the gods. Jezebel served all the gods of Venus. We talked about Venus last week. Venus was the god of sexuality and the god of lust and pleasure. And he found himself a wife named Jezebel. Listen what it says. And there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to the work of wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Those are piercing eyes we were just talking about. See, young men, when you find you a woman like that, that have control over you like that, opposites don't always attract. That's why we baptize these young men. We don't baptize you to go out and bring a Jezebel into this church. But listen what he says. He said, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to the work of wickedness in the sight of God, or in the sight of the Lord Jehovah, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Ain't that something? That's all I'm going to say about Jezebel in that sense. But she stirred up this king to do evil. Remember, Naboth had a vineyard. And Ahab wanted it. But he was weak and timid. And he said, I couldn't take it because it really belonged to him. And what did Jezebel do? She killed Naboth. And said, I got you that vineyard. Happy Father's Day. That's the kind of woman she was. That's the kind of woman she was. She was seductive. She was seductive. Even at her death. You know what I'm saying? When you get caught up in sin, we're going to talk about that time God gives us a space to repent. When you can get caught up in sin to the point that when the death angel comes, you'll still be in it. 2 Kings 9:30 talks about this. And Jehu was the one that was going to take Jezebel down. And Jezebel knew he was coming. In verse 30 of 2 Kings 9 it says, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And we talk about that word heard. She understood what he was coming for. He was coming to kill her. And listen what she did. And she painted her face. She put on all her seductive stuff. And she was in the top window. She was in a high place. And she painted her face and tied her hair. She just put on the Ritz. And looked out the window. Oh, we know about that. We can go to Proverbs 7, talk about that gullible man who walking through the streets, and that woman that has the attire of a harlot seen him and lured him into his house and basically killed him. And this is what she did. This is what Jezebel did. When she heard he was coming to kill her, she thought she could seduce her way out of everything. Let me tell you, young girls, that body is not always going to be tight and fit. Okay. You're going to meet the maker. And she looked out the window to seduce the man that was coming to kill her. And as Jehu entered and at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? This is Jehu. They had some eunuchs in that building. And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, basically saying, I'm with you, Jehu, because I'm tired of this Jezebel. Okay? And he said, throw her down. Y'all with me? I'm in 2 Kings 9. And he said, throw her down. These were men of God. A eunuch was a man, a consecrated. Jezebel didn't have nothing to do with a eunuch because a eunuch was circumcised. Not circumcised, but castrated. So you can't seduce a castrated man. That's what the Bible say. And then looked out the window, two or three eunuchs. And Jezebel might have castrated them. Am I reading too much in it? I don't think I am. She might have castrated them. She was wicked. And they might not have found her attraction. Yeah, you don't find me attractive, well, to Luke. And he said, throw her down. Listen, so they threw her down. Talking about this Jezebel. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall. I mean, she had a long fall. Scraped up against that wall. They must have didn't throw her far. She must have been fighting all the way down. Scraped all the way down to the wall. Listen, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. Jehu was known as a wild horseman. He rode that chariot fast. And this is what he did. And it was sprinkled on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he did come in, Jehu was kind of rough too, because after he killed her and ran her over with the cart, he came in to eat and drink. I needed a drink. And he said, go see now, he had some compassion, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hand. They had wild dogs in those days, and they ate her. They ate her, and that was all that was left. Okay, that's Jezebel. And then, and it says, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. And I don't believe this woman in the church name was Jezebel. It was just a title they gave her because she had, I've heard preachers preach on the Jezebel spirit. I believe plenty of these churches have the Jezebel spirit anymore, because a lot of times I'll go and you don't know where you're at. You wouldn't know where you were at. Church let out anymore. You wouldn't know if they didn't have church on the building, you wouldn't know what building folks was leaving. Let's take a snapshot of folk leaving church in Youngstown, and you would know where they were leaving out of. Listen. This is what it says. That woman Jezebel, which calleth herself. God didn't call her. I don't believe God calls any woman to preach. I believe God has a criteria for preachers, found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 and Titus and right here. He said a woman ought not usurp authority over a man. He also says God is head of man and man is head of woman. Now I understand women don't like that. I understand Pastor Oprah don't preach that. Pastor Ellen don't preach that. Pastor Phil don't preach that. But the Word of God does. He says that they suffereth this woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Women who sit in a pulpit. I remember being at a church and a woman was in the pulpit and she forgot her lap skirt. She didn't know she forgot it. And she was sitting like she had it. And folks in the crowd were just, I mean, I don't know if my wife remembered that day. I think she do. It was a long day because she didn't understand what they were waving for. And the preacher wasn't preaching that good. Listen what she says this woman prophetess did. They allow her to teach. They allow her to teach. And her teaching was laced with seduction. I've heard women preachers and women teachers. And a lot of times they're in men. Their preaching is laced with sexual innuendos and little sexual marks and digs and different things. I remember preaching at a church when I was teaching on Solomon, and all the pastor of the church could be hollered. Yeah, Solomon had a whole lot of women. Solomon had a whole lot of women. And that wasn't even the subject. But when you talk about Solomon, some men, all they think about is all the women Solomon had. But she was teaching by seduction. And she was teaching God's servants. This is a rebuke to the men of this church. Because see, the men of this church allowed this to happen. Okay? This is what it says. Thou sufferest. That's to the men. That's to the deacon board. That's to the male leadership who refuse to stand up and be men. And if the men don't want to be men, the women are going to be men. Ought not have to beg the men to want to be men. In the church. God has designed the church to be run by men. Oh, I know that's not popular. But that's fact. He says, these men of this church had allowed this. They had that Beatles. I was thinking about this, and I seen this little thing on the Beatles. Okay. Y'all remember that song? Some of y'all old enough. It said, "Let it be." See, he was the deacon boy. They theme song was "Let It Be." Here's how it goes. It says, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. In my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be." See, that was the number one hit. Let me tell y'all something. Mother Mary is not speaking to anyone. Mother Mary is not speaking to anyone. I know the Catholics teach you got to pray to Mary, and Mary will take your petitions and give them to Jesus. Mary called Jesus Lord. Listen, they allowed this. The men allowed this. Oh, this is why I'm so, trying so hard to rally these men to stand up and take position and to lead. Listen, and she seduced my servants to do what? To commit fornication. Here's a woman in the church saying, "You know what? It's okay. It's okay. You better find out first before you get married. You know, stay with that for a little while. See if you get along." I know the pastor was preaching that. Sydney was telling me, you know, they be talking about everything at the beauty shop. The pastor was teaching, yeah. You need to live with them for a little while, find out if things fit right. He could be a Jezebel. Okay, that's the Jezebel spirit. A man say, "Okay, you know, Lachey, you better check him out all the way through before you marry him, because you never know." And you know you're talking to a Jezebel. Listen, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, "All you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God." And in your eating, you ought to glorify God. You ought to glorify God in your eating. The Bible says we ought not just eat with anybody. Eating in the Bible, eating in the Bible days was a sign of fellowship, of union. This is why I say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. When you sit down with a group of people, you have announce your allegiance with that group. You have to say, I'm a part of this. And this is what Jezebel was teaching. Nothing wrong with eating food sacrificed to idols. Nothing wrong with drinking and partying. Ain't nothing wrong with going to the club and meeting you a dude and hooking up. I know there are churches that got a hookup ministries. Hookup ministry in the church, you know. And I believe one of the reasons why a lot of men don't come to church is because why come to church on Sunday when I was with them on Saturday night?
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
Church is full this morning with folks that was out all night.
Uh-huh.
Singing in the choir. Just got in at 4 o'clock. Just left Denny's. Just left Denny's. Stamps still fresh on their hand. In church singing Amazing Grace. And I gave her. Verse 21. And I gave her. Oh, look at the grace of God. Look at the mercy of God. Look at the grace of God. Right now, God is giving somebody in here a space to repent. Where you at? God is giving you time. He said, I gave her space to repent. He gave her space. This is a merciful God. Oh, we serve a merciful God. I'm so glad he gave me space. I'm so glad he gave me space. Oh, because I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. I was in trouble. And I thank God for giving me space to repent. But God goes a step further. He is specific with Jezebel. Because it was an important woman to that church. This woman was important to the church. I always say every gift not converted will be perverted.
Yeah.
If God has given you a gift and you don't use it to his glory, you're going to use it to Satan's glory.
Amen.
And he said, I gave her space to repent. And then he says, I'm going to be even more specific, which I'm going to tell you what you need to repent of. Fornication.
Yeah.
Stop sleeping around.
Yeah.
Black women ought to understand that. One in 30 or 16 black men have AIDS. Sleeping around and all these diseases and infectious diseases going around, and we just sleeping around. And preachers say, you know, homosexuality is part of the church, and it's killing us.
Yeah.
It's black genocide.
Yeah.
But we sleeping around, promoting, okay, you know, Kirk Franklin on TV the other day with pink lipstick on. Promoting homosexuality in the church. And AIDS is killing our communities. Ravaging our town. And we sleeping around. And I told a young brother the other day, called me up and said, let me tell you something. For every woman you sleep with, you slept with every man she done slept with and every woman she done slept with. You'll get a cold. And it will persist. In the prison they call it killer. He got that killer. And these brothers is leaving prison and hooking up. And they come into the church class. It's easy. Listen. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And what did she do? And she repented not. She said, God, I don't want your mercy. I don't want your grace. What's it mean to repent? I hate to move on. I hate to take for granted everyone knows what it means to repent. Repentance means a change of mind and behavior.
Amen.
A change of mind and behavior. Not 360, but a 180. I'm going to turn away from some of this stuff, and I'm going to walk in a newness of life.
Yes.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes.
Old things have passed away. I need to let some stuff die. I need to let some stuff go. See, you see, when you sit and hear God's word, and you have the courage and the boldness to say, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to keep on fornicating. I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. The next one you meet. Listen to what he says. Verse 22. And I'm not going to cover all this. Y'all know I'm not going to cover all this. Behold, I will. She repented not. Look what God said. Behold, pay attention. Because I want all y'all to see this. He said, I will cast her into a bed. Oh, you want to be in a bed? I'll cast you into a bed. The bed of affliction.
Yes.
The bed of hell.
Yes.
He said, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation. You want to sit and you want to run with her? You want to run with Jezebel? That's what he says. If you want to run with Jezebel, you will also suffer that great tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. Still blessing them. Still showing his grace and his mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish. That's that great tribulation. You will perish. And you will remember this first Sunday in June. When I was told that I had the space to repent,
yes,
and I repented not.
Yes.
And I will kill her children with death. Spiritual children. These are those that want to continue to follow her. And I'm going to say this, people. I see a great correlation. When women preachers came on the scene, the murder rate of our young children rose. 30 years ago, you couldn't find a woman preacher. 20 years ago, you couldn't find a woman preacher. But soon as these women preachers took over the scene, the murder rate in our black communities escalated. And that's twofold. That's twofold. Because men refused to stand in their place. And when 70% of all households is run by single women, we got a problem.
Amen.
We got a problem. And that thing goes into the church, and the church has no power when women are running it.
Amen.
I know that's not popular. I'm sorry, Pastor Oprah, but I have to preach it. God's church is not designed to be run by women. And I know most of you pastors are ordaining all these women. They wouldn't sit under one.
Amen.
You talk to a pastor that ordains women and ask him, would he sit under one?
Yes. All right. Amen.
And I know he wouldn't. And he can be a Jezebel.
All right.
Ordain a woman. I've seen some of these ordinations with these pastors ordaining women. How many books in the Bible? 66. What's the last book of the Bible? Revelation? What's the first book? Genesis? Okay.
Yeah.
You're ordained. That's it. That's it. And they come in there with a miniskirt on. Pulpit full of women. Man of God ain't supposed to be surrounded by all them women. Jesus had 12 men. He ain't ever called none of the women in there when he was performing a miracle. When he was ministering, he never called Mary and Martha. Come on in here. I want you to watch me raise somebody from the dead. He called James, John, Peter. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. You're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get it. And I believe all the churches in this town know. This last night, I'm reading the paper yesterday, and a young boy just shot all up. Run all into a house on St. Louis. There's a church on St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Churches surround the south side. Churches surround the east side. And every day we be burying folks that was killed in our backyards. Why? Because the church is not having an effect on the community. Powerless. Because men of God aren't in their places. Women hooping, trying hard, and I'm not sitting here down because I know it's got, they feel like it's got to be done.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to close with verse 24. I love to teach so much. I'm almost inclined to say, anybody have any questions? But I'm not.
That's all right.
We got to teach this on Wednesday night. Listen, verse 24, and I'm closing. But unto you, here's God, still blessing, still being merciful, still being grace, full of grace. Listen to what he said. But unto you, I say, I say, this is personal, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. There was folk in that church who stayed away from Jezebel's teaching. Maybe they weren't called or strong enough to confront her, because if God called her Jezebel, she was wicked. She was evil. It's hard to approach an evil woman. It's hard. And listen, he says, but as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. You want to know what else she was teaching? She was taking this church into the depths of satanic warfare. In the church.
Come on.
In the church.
In the church.
Deep into the depths of satanic warfare. This woman was evil. And as they speak, listen to what it says. As they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. God is calling for the church to repent.
Amen.
He's calling for the church to repent. And like every letter we've had, he finishes with saying, he that have an ear. You can be like Malchus. You can be like Malchus. And he had one ear till Jesus put it back on. But he ain't saying you have to have two ears, but you need to have one ear to hear what God says. Church, we need to repent. We need to repent. We need to get in place. We need our men to take this message home and say, you know what, that preacher was preaching to me. I need to step up. I need to step up. I need to stand. I need to be in church. I need to know my word. And then we need our women to humbly submit, not to the pastor, not to the deacons, not to the trustees, but humbly submit to God's word. Humbly submit to God's word. And then our Women's Day committee, when Women's Day come around, we need to be careful what type of woman we call to bring the message. Because anybody preaching in this church ought to believe like this church. And I don't have a problem preaching Women's Day. I don't believe it's mandatory that we get a woman to preach Woman's Day.
Amen.
Any questions? No. We need to repent. We need to get ourselves together. To our visitors, I thank you for being patient with me. This is what we do on Sundays. We sound the alarm. We sound the alarm. And just like we baptize these young folks, I want to marry some folks. I want some folks to walk down this aisle and say, I want to do this right, preacher. I'm tired of living by Jezebel's rules. Pray for me. I've been fornicating. I want to get away from that. I want to give myself to the Lord. You can't do that on your own. You need the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You can't turn from your sins without the power of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit, Pastor. I need the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with your power. Because this sin has a hold on me. It has me in its grip. I need the power of God to loose me. Oh, Father God, I want to be loosed. 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 I want to be free from these bonds that I've been in for so long. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for your word, Father God. Thank you for how clear it is. No one will have to point a finger at the preacher. I just preach through the Bible. I'm not topical. I'm not going to go from Timothy to Titus to Luke to John to Genesis. I'm going to preach through this whole Bible. And where it lands, it lands. And when it lands on the preacher, it lands on the preacher. Because it cuts me first. Father God, I've been cut today myself. But I know you are a healer, Father God, and you will heal me up. Father God, I know there's some folks in here, Father God, that need to be healed, that need to repent, that need to turn from their wicked way. Father God, I ask right now that you would give them the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out of darkness into your marvelous light. Oh, Father God, save some lost souls today. Father God, let us keep the baptismal pool full and ready. Father God, I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father God, save me today. Save me today. Save me from things unseen. Save me from myself. Oh, Father God, let me see the error of my ways. Not only give me ears to hear, but God, give me eyes to see. Give me that amazing grace to open my blind eyes. Father God, I am in a world of trouble. And I don't even know it. Oh, Father God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. Father God, we ask right now that you would just bless the church. Bless this church. Bless the leadership. Bless the men of this church. Father God, give them a unction, Father God. To want to be men of God. Father God, we pray for these women, Father God, that they would serve like Martha and be faithful in prayer and Bible study like Mary. Father God, we ask you would just lift up this church. Touch this minister here, Father God. Give him boldness, Father God, to continue to press on. Touch his wife. Father God, we pray right now. For all our young men that was baptized, Father God. We pray right now that there's another young man in here, Father God, that said, I want to go down in the water. Oh, don't raise me up. Don't raise me up, mommy, to go to jail. Oh, don't raise me up to serve the devil. Raise me up to serve God. Get me to church. Get me to Sunday school. Get me to vacation Bible school. I want to be good. But if you leave me on my own, I'm just headed for hell and destruction. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you heard our prayers. You know our hearts. You know our souls. You know where we need you. And we ask that you would just bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be here. Amen. The doors of the church are open. Amen. You may be here and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. But let me say this. There is none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And all you have to do is cry out, Lord, I need a Savior. And He will save you because He's faithful and He's just. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now. Come to Jesus.